Welcome to Peter's Podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me.
Namaste. I've been chatting with a number of people about all the things going on, and I've also been podcasting a little bit about that. Mostly I've been trying to be quiet for a couple of reasons, to let other voices speak, and also because getting quiet is one of the powerful things that we can do in terms of knowing what to do. Because I spend a lot of time at Paramahansa Yogananda's Self-Realization Fellowship, I have a few materials from there, and one of them is this cute little packet of things that are called paragrams for Paramahansa Yogananda, like telegrams or whatever. They're just these little sayings with a little description. And actually, they're just like a word but then a little explanation. So Wendy pulled one the other day and said, "Oh, this is so great." And it was about intuition. And the way that Yogananda described intuition was that you cultivate your intuition through your meditation practice, but then your intuition lets you decide instantaneously between the things that are in front of you. So you can be clear on what to do in all moments because you're tapped in. So I don't want to talk too much before we get silent so that we can get that kind of connecting and we can be tapping in. But I did want to talk topically just a tiny bit. I pulled out a book because I was thinking about doing the warrior poses. And I did them on whatever the last time I had class was Monday. And I was going to do those later today. But I wanted to refresh my memory on what the story behind them is, because it comes from a legend that relates to Shiva. And I have this book that's pretty sweet. It's by Alana Kaivalya and Arjuna van der Kooi, and it's called The Myth of the Asanas. And it describes the stories or the legends or why we call the postures what we do. And it includes the warrior poses. And in describing the warrior poses, the story behind it is, very briefly, Shiva gets really pissed because the Shakti, who he's always with, is in a material incarnation, so as a person, and the father of Shakti doesn't like Shiva and so won't let him carry through with marrying Shakti. So he's so angry when he's slighted by the father that he pulls out a lock of his hair and throws it into the ground, and it emerges as this warrior who immediately kills the father, chops his head off. So the various warrior poses that we have, the warrior one is this lock of hair emerging as this demon warrior, and then the warrior two is him slicing off his head, and warrior three is him picking up the head and planting it on the spike. So pretty gnarly stuff, pretty, I think, relevant to what's going on today. But what was really beautiful and where the intuition thing comes in is that as I'm reading this story, she takes it to the next piece, because Shiva sort of makes amends for what he's done. And the authors bring up the Yoga Sutras in Pada 1, number 33, which is, how do you behave? So it's comparison of Shiva's actions to what we all face when we get mad, right? When things don't go the way we want, there's a reaction that always happens, right? So we have a reaction rather than putting ourselves in the place where, to use Alan's language, we respond, right? And through our practice of meditation and our using our intuition, rather than simply reacting based on the first hit of emotion, then we can take the action that's most appropriate in a situation. So in case you haven't looked at the sutras for a while, I have this awesome version of it that was written by Alan Finger with Wendy Newton. And it mentions these, the way that it's best to deal with things. And it's always important to remember, as Wendy always says, that the sutras is a book about samadhi, right? So maybe it's appropriate for like general behavior, but it's specifically important or useful when you are talking about how do you do this meditation? How do you get to the silence that then lets you have this intuition that then lets you act in the world and trust the way you're acting, right? So the 1.33 says, I lost it. It's because it's not 1.33. There it is. Equilibrium of mind can be maintained by cultivating the following attitudes: a feeling of unconditional love and enjoyment towards those who are contented, peaceful, and happy. And maybe the next ones are the most appropriate for what's in our heads these days. Compassion toward those, even oneself, who encounter challenging situations that create suffering. A sense of joy and supportiveness for those who experience honorable successes, and equanimity when confronted by those who are troubled and project their negativity onto others in a hurtful way, or who one judges as immoral. So in each case, it's asking you to do something to maintain your own ability to be clear, to think clearly, to not get swept away by the feelings that are pretty natural to have, right? So in the case of someone who's happy, you know, it's pretty normal for us to go, well, why are they so happy? Like, you know, you don't, rather than just having what it recommends, love, right? Oh, look how happy they are. I love that, right? Once in a while we have that, for sure, especially if it's somebody that we really love. But then there's a whole bunch of other times when we go, I wish I had that, or I deserve that just as much as they do, or on and on, right? We come up with reasons why this isn't a good situation, even though it's like the perfect situation. And then compassion toward those who are suffering is also sometimes really challenging to do. And I mean, I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. For people who are succeeding at something, to have joy and supportiveness, this is really important in our polarized situation, right? Where when someone does something that's good, we're just always in our camps. And it's really important to also be willing to be supportive for that. We have to start bridging this polarized gap that we're all in. And then finally, to be able to find equanimity when you encounter something that's, you know, often this gets translated as something wicked, you know. And in order to be able to do that, it's like you're finding the right place to encounter, right place to deal with that thing. So if it's in your face, maybe the thing to do is to be at war with it, right? To be the warrior in that moment. But if it's not right in your face, there may be other actions to do that let you stay functional rather than having you melt down, rather than having you become incapacitated, rather than having you be in despair, right? So it's important to try to find And the word is, you know, nicely chosen in Alan and Wendy's translation, to find equanimity when you encounter that stuff, so that you can be all your faculties available, including this intuition that lets you decide, how should I act? So I was asked, so it was cool. I'm just kind of trying to trace these little things that appear when you're trying to stay open, when you're trying to be quiet and listen more. So I went from thinking we need to engage our warrior to someone saying, hey, look back at the sutras, at this thing of how to act in these several different ways. And then my students in teacher training this weekend said, can you teach this inner smile meditation this week for us so we get to hear it happen? And coincidentally, all the teacher trainees are over with Wendy now in the other room getting the lecture on the Yoga Sutras right now. But since I had committed to teaching that, I thought, well, maybe I should be teaching that anyway. And I think it's interesting maybe to think about this inner smile, this thing of smile, as its essence, which is, how do you find enough of a equanimity, right? That fourth one, that fourth key. How do you find equanimity that a smile, that lets a smile happen if that's the right thing to do, right? So if someone needs compassion, you have a compassionate smile. If someone is succeeding at something, you're able to have equanimity with that, right? If someone is actually happy about something, like, you know, people are having babies, people are getting married, things are happening that deserve love in the moment. So to be able to find that, right? Whether you want to call that a smile, but to be able to be loving, right? And to have just, I'm not going to have the opposite of a smile when I encounter someone who's in such pain or in such confusion that they're acting out with that on someone else. So I hope that you can find something in that little description of range of things that could equal smile, that you can carry that kind of a feeling with you as we move that around our body so that we can find a quiet that lets us tap in and stay, keep, you know, establish the connection and then be able to keep that connection with our highest knowing so that we can take the right actions as we move out through the course of our day and our week and our current moment. All right. If you have questions about anything I said, you can unmute yourself and ask them, or you can chat at me. I'll take a peek at the chat right now.
Can you go over the Warrior One again? You said Warrior Two was slicing. What was Warrior One?
When the lock of hair gets ripped out and thrown into the ground, it emerges in the party where Shiva has not been invited. And so it's literally the warrior emerging up out of the earth, you know, the lock of hair emerging as a warrior.
Thank you.
Sure.
What was the name of the book that you were quoting?
The Tantra of the Yoga Sutras?
Well, no, the one. No, not. I have that book.
Myth of the Asanas.
The Asanas, okay.
And the first author's name is Alana Kaivalya.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all meditating down here.
Great. Anything else?
Sure. It's not so much of a question. Well, it's not a question, but just an observation. Where just this morning I was thinking, not just about what happened, but just in general, when I've personally experienced, like when. I've been the recipient, in other words, of people sort of, I thought this news would have made you happy for me or giving you a charge, you know, like, it made me sad when I've heard their like, oh,
disappointment.
Yeah. Like, well, that's good for you. Huh. But then I've been thinking recently, well, it's really, I just need to cultivate this sense of compassion, because then in light of what happened, I feel for even the officer's family. You know, it's not just this one side. It's...
Yeah. Well, you know, when we say namaste, that's what we're trying to get at, right? Everyone is of one.
Yeah.
But we have to deal with the fact that some people are confused about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're in a challenging time, you know, yeah, let's leave that. Let's do more silence and less talking then. Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you for sharing this time with me. We're going to do some premeditative asana. I think everyone who's here is a veteran. If you're confused about anything that I'm saying or anything that I'm guiding us in, feel free to chat at me, because we're going to be muted now. And so come on to all fours. And we're going to start with the cow and the cat. So as you breathe in, curl your toes under, arch and open. As you breathe out, take the tops of your feet to the floor and press away and round your back. And then continue to flow on the rhythm of your breath. And as you're moving in these two poses, try to bring your focus inward. This is like a moment of oasis, right? So come in, bring your fingers to each other rather than spreading out. Anything you can do that helps you start to reorient away from the outside world and toward your inner place. It's kind of a fascinating paradox of yoga, that in order to get bigger, in order to become more all-encompassing, we go inside rather than further outside. After your next inhale, as you're exhaling, take your seat back to your heels, back to the child's pose. I'll call this seal pose from now on. Inhale to Bali, coming up on your knees. Exhale to the seal. Inhale through cow to cobra. Let your elbows bend if that's too big of a back bend. Exhale back to seal. And that's the four poses. Inhale, Bali. Exhale, seal. Inhale, cobra. And exhale, seal. And continue on, Bali, seal, cobra, seal. And if you like, add the sahamkriya. Inhale, sa, inspiration in. Exhale, hum, the energy radiates. Inhale, sa, crown to base, energy in as Brahma Nadi. Exhale, hum, the energy radiates from Kanda through the thousands of nadis that power us. After you're in the seal, the next time, the fourth pose, pause for a moment. And then from there, find an inversion that works for you in your space, in your body today. So maybe that's downward dog, maybe that's a headstand, maybe it's a forearm version of downward dog. So headstand prep pose.
Or maybe you're just on your knees with your head at the ground, your hips high. And then take your time as you lower down. End up sitting up on your heels in the mermaid. Take a moment just in the hero pose. Let yourself readjust. Take a couple breaths and then sit over onto the right side of your feet. If it's comfortable, you can hook your right toes over the top of your left ankle. If you need, sit up on something so you're basically balanced in your hips. And then set your hand down on the side where your feet are and raise your right arm up and over. Find your breath. Notice how it expands you through your right side, bringing energy into the Pingala Nadi. And if you like, you can continue to use the Sa Hum Kriya. Inhale back upright and lower that arm down. Swing your legs around to the other side. Maybe hook your left toes over the right ankle. Come up and over. Activating the Ida Nadi. And then lower down. Swing your legs straight out in front of you. Set your hands behind you on the floor. If you need to, sit up on a blanket or a pillow. Open through your chest. One more time, find that center line. As you breathe in, Sa, inspiration. As you breathe out, Hum, that energy translates into you. With every breath, you manifest into this experiencing. But what breathes in as you is unbound. It's the oneness that we are all part of. Not only part of, but we simply are it. In the way that the ocean doesn't have parts, it's just the ocean. Go ahead and release that. Bend your knees, put your feet in front of you, and windshield wiper your legs right and left to open your hips a little. And then find yourself a comfortable seat, pick a seat that's easy to be in.
I'm always fascinated with how working in Zoom allows so much real connection at the same time. So, finding your nice comfy seat. We'll start with an alternate nostril breathing to further balance the left and the right side. And if you prefer a different technique, you can use that. Otherwise, let your left hand rest on your leg, join your index finger and thumb. Take your right hand, and the thumb and ring finger are going to be on the side of your nose. Your first two fingers could rest on your forehead or tuck into your palm. And then do a little self-test and see, is there a dominant nostril right now? And if there is, that's going to be the one you start with. So block the one that's less dominant, that's more blocked already. And then breathe in through the dominant side. The top of your inhale, close and block both. And then breathe out through the other side. Come back in the side you just breathed out. Close and block both. And exhale out through the first side. And from here on, just keep going out and back in, then switch over to go out and back in the other side and switch over again. Once you've established the pattern, out and back in, then switch, out and back in, then switch. See if you can lengthen the inhale, the exhale. And if you like, if it doesn't create disturbance or anxiety, you could try holding your breath at the top of your inhale. And since the aim of this practice is to quiet you and to help pull your focus inward, you'll probably notice a moment when there's a shift in your attention, there's a shift in what seems most present. And when you feel that shift take place, go ahead and let your hand relax down over your knee. Keep your focus in, keep your eyes closed. And then bring your attention to your face in general. And based on our little conversation about the range of options of what is the essence of smile, whether it's contentment or compassion or happiness or love, go ahead and smile in that way right now, in a way that feels pure and true to you. And feel what the energy shift is as you do that. As you align with Ananda Maya Kosha, that part of us that can touch bliss, it becomes timeless in a way. And then we come back. So see if you can feel that shift in the energy of making a smile. And then we're going to hold on to the idea of the energy rather than the physical smile. So first noticing it probably at your lips or maybe even in your cheeks or your cheekbones. Let the energy of the smile fill that whole area of your face, the lips, the cheeks, cheekbones, your jaw perhaps. And feel as though it were liquid in quality. Feel the essence, like a nectar, a sweetness of that smile. Feel it move up into the upper part of your cheeks and up into your eyes. And it's so often we can sense a smile in someone's eyes. Feel the essence of the smile move out into your temples and up your eyebrows and into the forehead, so that there's a radiance in your face like we see when someone is smiling. And let this essence, whether it's contentment or compassion or happiness, flow into your scalp, up into the top of your head, the sides of your head. Let it flow into your ears. And then around the back of your head. And let the essence of the smile flow down into the tops of your shoulders, where your neck and shoulders meet. And let that sweetness or contentment or compassion or happiness flow down your shoulders and down past the deltoid part of your shoulders into your upper arms. Let the essence of smile flow through your elbows and into your forearms. Let it flow from your forearms through your wrists and into your open palms. And in its quality as an essence of like a nectar, a sweet liquid, let it fill your palms to overflowing, so that now the essence of the smile is running down your fingers, bringing the essence of smile that leaves a smile at the tip of each finger. Take your attention back up to the source place of the smile on your face again. And reinforce that energy, that sense of the smile energy. And bring it now down the front of your throat and into your upper chest. And all the way down now to your diaphragm area of your torso, down your abdomen, all the way into your hips. And once again, back up at the shoulders in the back this time, let it flow down your upper back, bringing ease there. Let it flow down the middle of your back, down into your lower back, and all the way down into your hips and your seat. And let the essence of the smile flow through your hip joints and into your thighs, the tops of your thighs, the backs of your thighs, through your knees and down your shins in the front and your calves in the back, down through your ankles, into the tops of your feet, and the soles of your feet. And let it flow down each toe, bringing a little smile into each toe tip, and maybe onto each toenail. So that now your whole body, your physical body, is covered, is now transformed by that energy of smiling. Bring your attention back up to your face, where the smile originated. And reconnect one final time to where that is in your face. And let it concentrate at your lips. Move now to the inside of your lips. So you're experiencing the same smile energy, but from the orientation of inward. And let that smile mingle with the saliva on your tongue. and either physically or mentally swallow the smile. And let it flow down into your stomach. And the stomach is the first organ of your digestive system, which distributes nutrients to our body. And we're going to let the stomach serve now as a route in for this energy of the smile to move into us at the next level in. So let it flow in your bloodstream now, up into the brain, using the brain as our energy system headquarters. And let it flow from all the cells of the brain down into the brain stem, and let it continue down into the spinal column. Let it move down the spinal column, bringing that same essence, contentment, happiness, ease, equanimity. Let it flow down the spine and out all the nerves, which map your entire body. And not just the physicality of the nerves, but the energy that rides on those nerves is transformed by its relationship now with this essence of smile. And now let that essence, which was originally carried by the bloodstream, be further carried by the bloodstream to every organ, to your heart, to your lungs, to all the organs that keep us healthy, that keep us resting and restored. And let it flow through all the arteries and all of the capillaries, which are like the delivery system to every single cell of our body. And let there be no cell in your body now that hasn't had the delivery of this essence of the smiling. So that all of you is able to reconnect with that blissfulness that lets you have love to some, compassion for others, support for some, and equanimity around others. And as you hold this energy in your system through your concentration, your entire body aligns with that energy and you begin to glow like the face of someone who's genuinely smiling. And envision that glow like an aura that you are emitting. And as you do so, you transform the world. You bring light. You can let your meditation focus in the heart center or in the midbrain, whichever seems more appropriate to you. I'm going to be quiet now. stay in your meditation space, and we'll use the energy that's now your meditation to bring intuition back into your living. Bring your palms together in front of the heart center. Bring the tongue to the tip, the roof of your mouth, tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth. Very slightly move your hands, feeling for the energy of that. So it's like a tingling, the quality of the synapses firing. Move your tongue behind the upper teeth to the gum line and invite, use your own willpower to send the inspiration, the insight, the intuitional qualities into your hands as energy. Bring your hands up over your eyes and direct that wisdom and insight into Ajna Chakra, where we can plant it to influence us in all of our decision-making and our ability to understand what we see in front of us. Bring your palms together in front of the brow. The mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, four times. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om. Draw the energy down your face to the throat center at your neck, crossing one hand over the other in front of your throat, and invite the wisdom of your meditation to flow here and to express itself as wisdom whenever you speak, and understanding and compassion whenever you listen. The mantra, Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Om Aim Saraswatiye Namaha. Draw your hands down to the top of the sternum, directing energy to the thymus gland to bolster your immune system and the immune system of everyone in the world. The mantra, Om Ram 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 Ramaya Namaha. 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 Draw the energy of your meditation to the heart center, helping you to have compassion in your heart, to be able to see in the other that same essence that is in you, the oneness that we all share. Palms together in front of the heart center. Om Namo Narayanaya. 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 Om. From the heart center, draw the energy of your meditation to the navel center, directed here to bring fire element into balance in your metabolism, in your mind, in your courage, to be like a warrior, to confront whatever is in front of you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om. Draw your hands down to the pelvis. Here we have the headquarters of our passion. Shine light here so that it's clear what passions are reactions, which are distractions, and rather how to follow the passion that leads you to fulfill your purpose in this life. Let your hands be like in meditation, where the fingertips are coming to touch in front of the pelvic line, the pubic line. The mantra, Om, and then like a drum beat, Doom, 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Om Dum 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 Durgaye Namaha. Point your fingertips onto the pubic bone. Thumb tips touch at the top, so there's a triangle directing the energy of your meditation to the pelvic floor, to Muladhara Chakra, to bring stability and prosperity into your living. The mantra, Om Lakshmi Vam Shri Kamaladaram Swaha. 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 Massage from hip to knee, regrounding yourself, coming back into your physical body, rooting through your legs into the earth. Massage around your knees and down your shins and calves. Hold your ankles tight so you really focus down towards your feet. And finally, walk five lines down the soles of your feet. So you're right in the soles, in the five elements of earth, water, fire, air, and space that comprise our multitude of activities, multitude of experiences and sensations in life. Make your way onto your back into Shavasana and let your body rest for a minute. Begin to move your fingers and your toes, run your thumbs across your fingertips, turn your head lightly from side to side. On a nice breath in, take your arms up overhead and stretch long through your right side from fingers to toes, then out through your left side from fingers to toes. Taking your time, draw your knees in, wrap your hands around your shins and release your back with a little circle one way and then the other. Set your feet down on the floor and press up into the bridge pose, lifting your hips off the ground. You can take your arms underneath and interlace your fingers, or just let your upper arms rest on the floor and your forearms point up toward the sky. Roll your way back down. Windshield wiper your legs left and right to release your hips. And then make your way up to sitting. Use the yoga mudra, placing your fist just below your navel with your right hand, your left hand on top of the right, and gently press in there to bring your focus down into this space khanda where all of the energy distributes on each exhale. So we're coming back into living, getting nice and grounded. Bring your palms together in front of the heart center, that headquarters of compassion in you. Hari Om Om Tat Sat, thanks for all your focus. I hope you find peace and ease as we move out into this day. Namaste. That's today's episode. Thanks a lot for listening to Peter's podcast. I hope that you find real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living through your practice. Please support me on Patreon, rate the podcast, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.